The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, in the studio. After a long time, we're back together. I haven't seen you for like a month and a half.
Oh, like 3 weeks, yeah. You've been on assignment.
Yeah, I went to the thing and then you got sick and then you had the performance of the drums.
I've been on assignment in Freeport playing, yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
I might add, I was going to call you during a break and say, I cannot believe how cold it is out here. The wind was unbelievable.
We played outdoors. I know. That's why we're like, you got to start getting the indoor gigs. Those are the better paying ones.
Well,
indoor
this
gigs.
Was the last, actually the last outdoor gig. And actually that band played for the Halloween party indoors.
Indoors. Yeah. Right, there you go.
Yeah, but that's the only time they play indoors. They won't be playing there till next year, next season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I'm sure our very own Hassan Gao will be calling in soon because he's busy doing fighting the Ebola virus. That's what he's doing this week.
What is he doing?
He's fighting the Ebola virus. Mm. It manifested itself, and he's fighting it with a sword.
I did that 2 weeks ago.
So, anyway.
And you know what would be great right after that? The scream. That would be great.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on the web camera right now in high definition.
How you doing?
And also, we're time travelers, so this week, everybody make sure you turn your clocks back. So
yeah. Well, let me tell you about turning the clock back.
Yes.
If you are traveling from, I would say, if you are traveling from east to west, it is pure hell because now it's really 5 o'clock and the sun is setting in the west.
Yes.
So it is very scary out there. So all you people who are traveling now, hope you're going east.
Everybody has to go east. You're not allowed to go west.
You can't go west. The sun is terrible.
All right.
Most stressful ride I ever had.
That's the most stressful ride you ever had?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Drive with the sun in your face.
I'll get right on that because I'm going to have to be driving west on the
way
home.
That's your assignment for next week. Yes. Drive with the sun in your face.
So I guess we'll just take it away with the news. It's very short news this week, but the news is brought to you in part by the New York Comic Con, the Big Apple Comic Con. Sorry, Mike. The Big Apple Con, which is coming back after 20 years of service to the community of New York. They're going to have a convention in December, the WinterCon. They're teaming up with the Frank Pats from EternalCon.
Yes.
And they're going to have a convention in Aqueduct in Queens.
And if everybody come to that because that the place they're having it is magnificent.
It's a casino. It's a racino. It's a racetrack.
Racino, yeah. Casino but place. I've been there. It's my old neighborhood. I've been there. It is fabulous.
And that's going to be the first weekend of December.
It's December.
That'll be the 6th, if I'm not mistaken.
I am so looking forward to that.
And then they're going to have the 20th anniversary on March for a one-day show. And they're going to have Jason David Frank, the Green Power Ranger. So it's a big thing for me. He's the headliner. So if you're a big Power Ranger fan, it's a one-day show. They're going to have 20-year anniversary of the New York Con. Whew, oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sorry,
we'll
Mike,
be,
again.
We'll be the official radio show.
So for more information, go to nycbm.com. Also, I know, are we doing all right with that interview? All right. And Hassan is on the phone. Say hi, Hassan.
Hi, Hassan.
So you were busy fighting the Ebola virus. It manifested itself.
Is that what I was doing this time?
Yeah, it manifested itself and you were fighting it with a sword.
Oh, great.
So you took care of that Ebola for everybody?
Yes, it's done. America has no need to fear the Ebola anymore, thanks to me.
Good job, Hassan. We're proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you being proud of me.
And I speak for all of us when I say we're glad you're not here.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't we spread the rumor on live?
Yeah,
I
could just see officials knocking at your door right now.
Yeah, that's great.
They're gonna throw you in quarantine.
You'll
with
be
that,
on the news
with
though.
The nurse.
You'll be
that's
famous.
It.
I'll be famous. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I couldn't make out what that nurse looked like behind the plastic, and I'm not going to make out what you look like. So forget that famous thing.
Yeah, just to get famous. I don't need to be famous that bad. Trust me. I don't need to be famous at all, as a matter of fact.
Well, speaking of famous,
Mr. Sid,
we have a Florida woman named Susan Shriver.
Oh, work on those names before the show.
It's Schrijver. So Schrijver. She started a petition on change.org, which is a website where people can electronically sign petitions to show support for various causes. And this
I do that all the time.
And her cause is that she wanted to have Toys R Us stores to remove action figures portraying the characters from the show Breaking Bad from its shelves. The petition reads... Toys R Us is well known around the world for their vast selection of toys for children of all ages. However, the decision to sell a Breaking Bad doll, complete with a detachable sack of cash and a bag of meth, alongside children's toys, is a dangerous deviation from their family values.
A bag of meth? Wow. Did you just read a bag of meth?
Yes, it comes with a bag of meth. Well, not a real bag of meth.
With a bag of meth? Wait, where's your toy?
Not a real bag of meth.
Oh.
But, you know, it's...
Well, sales are going down right now as we speak.
What a letdown.
Holy... The views of Hassan are not necessarily the views of this radio station.
But they could be. I like that part. It could be.
I know who do.
A bag of meth. Even if it's fake, just the idea.
Yeah, you know what? Before you even finish that, I was seriously about to be like, oh, here comes another fucking wacky... monkey lunatic who is, you know, upset about something and wants to do away with it so that nobody else can experience. But she's not wrong.
No.
My boy's selling a bag of meth.
Not a real bag of meth.
It's not
like, that doesn't matter.
It's a depiction of a bag. It's like selling sugar and calling it cocaine. You know? Selling sugar with Barbie. Cocaine Barbie.
Yes.
Not bad.
Cocaine addicted
yes.
Barbie.
Cocaine Barbie. Okay.
With drug dealer Ken.
Yes. Cartel Bobby, Barbie, and cocaine Ken. No.
Suddenly, Lindsay Lohan doesn't look that bad.
Yeah. That saying a lot.
Oh my God! A fake bag of meth with these dolls.
While the show may be compelling viewing for adults, its violent content and celebration of the drug trade makes this collection unsuitably sold alongside Barbie dolls and Disney characters.
Where would it be sold besides?
Well,
I don't think it would. I mean, really?
It would be sold in comic book stores and collectible places.
Everything's on the internet machine now. Internet machine.
My God.
On October 12th, the petition had 50 signatures, but by the 15th, it had had jumped to 9,300 signatures,
uh-oh,
and the story had
catching
gone
on.
Viral. Toys R Us responded by saying that they would remove the toys and shelves and online.
We didn't know this was a bad idea until someone came and pointed it out to us.
You know, I bet they bought the toys without seeing that little bag of fake meth. In the package. What's this? It's his medicine. Oh, all right. Give me about 500 boxes of those dolls.
What gets me about this whole thing is that the two of you are siding with a lady. I really thought you were against the lady.
There's a bag of meth in the thing.
With a toy, Mark.
What are you missing for this?
It's not real meth.
Mark, We know it's not, but just the guy. What are the kids going to do? Hi, honey, I'm home, and I feel real crazy. Can I pet the couch? What do you do? You know
what I would say.
You know what? I feel I'm. Listen clearly. Your analogy doesn't make any sense. Okay, because people who dress up like Hitler get rattled.
Yeah.
Everybody knows they're not the real Hitler.
But they could
be. Kids who carry guns around in the street that are toy guns get shot by cops. Usually people know they're not real guns, okay? And that's why they stopped selling toy weapons that actually look just like guns.
Wow.
And Super Soakers, and they changed the entire dynamic of it. A, so it doesn't continue the hysteria of gun fanaticism. But B, also, so the kids don't get shot by cops. So here we are again with the same kind of notion of corrupting children by giving them commodities on the drug trade to sell amongst their toy action figures.
Just to make them aware of meth alone. Mommy, what's this? Oh, honey, it's the bag of meth that comes with the doll. Thanks, Mom. You're the best.
You lose your bag of meth, and now we'll have to order away for another one.
That's like they had the Scarface doll. That's like coming with a fake bag of cocaine, the Scarface.
Yes!
Just because it's sold in a toy store.
No, Mark, you're not
going
to be able to talk this out. You're not going to talk it out. It doesn't make
You can't get out of this, Mark.
It's
No.
To me,
yes,
it
Mark.
Is if... It's another product to be sold in a store. The parents are the ones that need to censor the products that their children are being given.
And the parents are by complaining about them existing in the first place.
Like saying something on TV should not be on TV because it offends my child.
No.
Where they could say that they just do not show it to
them. If it was sold as a doll, as a collectible... On Sideshow website or something like that, no issue. Okay, just like the frighteningly anatomically correct Black Widow doll that went for $200 that sold out before it even actually got manufactured.
I remember.
Nobody complained. You know why? Because that wasn't in Toys R Us, right next to Hello Kitty. Okay,
which
you cannot have
pun intended.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. No, the pun was intended. My pun was intended. You cannot have these things mixing together. If it's a collectible item for adults, it should not be in a children's toy store. That's simple. It's not. It has nothing to do with the propriety and people teaching people the right thing. This is actually the parents doing the due diligence this time and saying, hey. This should not be here.
I don't
want this here. And in fact, I don't think any parent should want this here. And I'm going to let as many parents know about it as possible so they can join me in this crusade. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's amazing because, usually you go to Toys R Us, you trust them to, sell dolls. And, mommy, I want this doll. So the parent picks it up and takes because it looks... Now... I would love to see that box that the doll comes complete with briefcase,
yeah, complete with meth.
fake bag of meth,
All right.
Yeah.
I'm beside myself on this one. I'm really amazed.
You're off the map on that one. You're off the map.
It's like anything, in my opinion, where they have a Barbie aisle. It's not going to be Barbie and, drug-dealing Barbie. It's Barbie in one section, and they have the guy action figures in another section, and they have aliens, and they have all the types of gross things that people may find offensive in this toy store. So why pick on the one TV show? That's just
not picking on the TV show. It's just like if they made a doll, Shoot Up Steve, and he comes with a belt, a spoon, and it's all make-believe. That should not be allowed. Anything drug-related should not be allowed in a kid's store next to kids' items. It's that simple. There's, you know, parents have to screen their kids for so many things with that. This is just, you know.
So is it the fact that it's in Toys R Us that makes the big deal? So let's say it was in Walmart or something. Would that change?
No.
Oh my God.
It's just, if it was Walmart, it's the same thing. Where would they put it in Walmart?
In the
toy section.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my point.
Oh, yeah. No, then.
All right.
No, put it online if you want to sell it as a collector's item for other adults.
Put it online where the kids can't get it. Life you know, if a guy wants to buy it, a guy or girl wants to buy it for a goof, and look, it comes with, you know, and you know, like Asan said about the Blackwood, people will buy it to collect that because down the road probably will be or something because they're going to take all the things off the market. But don't sell it with the kids.
So Toys R Us executives say, let's just say the action figures have been taken on an indefinite sabbatical. Susan's response is, again, thank you all so much for supporting this and making this happen. Just remember that if you believe in something, go for it. You can
You
make
know
it
where
happen.
They were taken? To toy rehab. That's where they were taken.
You know, and that's short-sighted. That's like, my analogy would be bad, so we'll skip it. But that's very short-sighted because now no one can have it because they decided to be greedy and try to mass market it to everybody, not realizing that parents might have an issue with a bag of meth in their kid's hand. And now you're not even going to be able to get it online because Toys R Us pulled it. So now it's a big controversial item that probably will be very difficult to find in the future.
And you know who's kicking themselves in the head? The maker of the Lindsay Lohan doll. What they could have put in that. The fake stuff they could have put in that.
No comment.
They can have the before and after. So that comes with the
The bottles of whiskey.
And then, yeah.
The fake bags of meth, whatever the hell.
So, Brian, are we good with that?
Does not support or condone the mocking of Lindsay Lohan on the show of It Can't Be Radio.
Brian, we're good with that interview on there? All right, so as a special treat, I actually managed to interview Mike Carbonaro, who is the head of the Big Apple Con at the New York Comic Con.
You got Mike to sit still for a second?
I got
to
Mike
interview.
To sit still for a second. I do have some comments about the interview afterwards, but we're going to play that right now. It's a few minutes, so we're going to play it right now.
God bless you, Stimpy.
Hi, this is Mark Charles of the Kane Fun Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Convention, and I'm here with Mr. Big Apple himself, Mike Carbonaro. Say hi, Mike.
Hello, how you doing?
We're doing very well. We are here at David Adams, Dave Card's World.
Actually, it's David Adams Card World, but their comic division is called Get Cash for Comics.
Get Cash for Comics. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What's that about?
Wow, okay. Get Cash for Comics. Well, David Adams Card World is one of the most amazing retailers in the card world, and they've decided to put some of their energy, time, and money into the comic book world. And fortunately, I was one of the people elected to help them, along with Will Mason and John Grimaldi. And I've been traveling the country, buying comic books, filling up their warehouse in Buffalo and Tonawanda, New York, actually. And two of our newest acquisitions, which I'm very excited about, is a Batman number one in very good condition, and the first appearance of Batman in Detective 27, the highest graded copy.
At a 9.4.
Yeah, 9.4. It's ridiculous. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10. It has a little bit of minor restoration, but it is the highest graded, and it's a beautiful copy. Even the back cover, which sells all kinds of stuff like lates and alligators and toy guns, which aren't allowed anymore. This was 1939, May. And it's $550,000.
Now, I remember you used to run a comic book store back somewhere in the day. So is that how you got into comics?
Yeah, that's one of the ways. Actually, my dad lent me $400, and I bought my local comic book store out when I was 14 years old in 1972. And from there on in, I bought and sold comic books, and then 10 years later, I had my own comic store, yes.
So then you started to do conventions.
Then, conventions is interesting. It was like an accident of birth. I always loved shows. I actually used to run a show in Queens, and it was at the American Legion Hall. And we had 40 tables, and it was free admission, but I had every table at the show. So all my friends were taking my money and writing out lists for me and giving me all the income. But there was somebody had a convention here in New York, and at the last minute, they couldn't make it work. The fire code wasn't approved or whatever. So myself and two Vincents, Vincent Zerzolo of Metropolis and Vince Gula, got together and we decided to rent the church basement. And that Saturday, we opened the doors, free admission, and the dealers that hadn't turned around and gone back from the other show came, and it was like a whoosh. The people came flying in. Ah, oh, we're the superheroes. We saved the day. It was great. So Big Apple Conventions was born. And for 15 years, I ran that show. Then I gave the show to Wizard, and they did some shows here in New York. But now, next year, we get Big Apple Conventions back, and we're ready to rock. And take it. We're going to start in a church basement. We're actually going to do a party that Friday night on March 6th, and then we're going to take it over to the Hotel Pennsylvania on the 7th.
Now, this is what, the 20th anniversary?
It's I can't believe it. 20 years. It's like Stan Lee said, it's really 19, but we're going to go with 20 because it sounds
close
better.
Close enough.
Yeah, I can't believe it's that long since that show was accidentally born, so to speak. But yeah, and I'm excited about bringing it back and making it more historical, creating more of the comic book history of the world, and bringing people's collections and showcasing their collections along the way and having them talk about their collections, whether it's the biggest G.I. Joe collector, the guy that has everything from Mad, the Marvel collection. I believe Metropolis is going to bring the first 100 Planet comic books on display, which have those beautiful science fiction covers from the 1940s. So a cornucopia, and really back to the basics with the comic book
now,
world.
Now, that is important because as time has gone by, the comic book convention has turned into a pop culture convention, and you kind of lose their way for the comics. You've been in the business for so long. Have you seen the change going from one to the other, and where do you see it going?
I actually feel in some ways I started that or was right there at the beginning of it because in the church basement I added wrestlers. And people were like, what are you doing with these wrestlers here? And I'm like, well, it's kind of part of what's going on. And then we started to bring in the celebrities and Star Wars and everything else, and it started to mix up. And it mixed well. But it gets to a point where it mixes so much that you kind of have every group of fantasy that you can imagine, and it just gets so big, which is fine, and it's great, and every city needs a convention that big, but it also needs a more boutique and individualized convention where 5 or 10,000 people can go to a show and enjoy themselves and get up close to the artist and get up close to the celebrity and get up close to the comic book dealer and get in and out, and it doesn't take an hour or two to get in and out of the place, and you can still have a great day and have some fun. So there's room for both types of conventions in the world of collectibles, and that's what I'm trying to build back and make Big Apple a fun thing, and with more comic-centric.
You will be the man to make it happen. If anybody can do it, Mike Carbonaro can do it.
And I believe you know for the years that we've known each other, right?
Yes, a long time. We've been back and forth. Yeah. You know, I know you know, as you said yesterday, you know how to run a con. Anybody knows how to run a con, it's you.
How to run a comic convention. Call me and ask. I'd be happy to tell you.
So how do you incorporate social media now? Because that's the new thing. There wasn't social media back then. How do you incorporate social media in the new conventions that you're going to be doing?
Actually, I have my social media expert right here, Ivy Supersonic.
So Ivy, I'll direct that question to you. How will you use social media to move forward in the comic convention as it is?
Wow, you put me on the spot there.
That's where you belong. Well, you know how to do it well, Ivy.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with this kind of communication stuff. I don't really want to tell you my secrets and what my plan is, because then if I tell you that, everybody else can copy me. So I'm just going to do my thing for Mike, and I'll do it well.
And Google Ivy Supersonic, and you'll know what she's all about.
It's all true. It's all true. All
is it Ivy Supersonic?
Yes, Ivy Supersonic.
I-V-Y-S-U-P-E-R-S-O-N-I-C.
I'm a designer, yeah.
Okay.
We're going to be creating a special hat, and Ivy is a hat maker, okay? And we're going to try and create, and we're right at the design stage now for the Big Apple Convention.
Yes, we are.
And boy, when you see it, it'll be something to behold.
So you have, as right now, you have two conventions that are coming up, right?
Yes.
One December.
We have a show in Queens at the Resort World Casino, December 6th and 7th, Saturday and Sunday. And I wanted to do a show. I always thought a show in every borough should be right. I mean, here we have Manhattan, Queens, Bronx, Brooklyn, And Staten Island. I will not forget Staten Island, I promise. Okay? Is the next thing. I never wanted to take comic book shows out of the Big Apple, and the boroughs are part of that. So we have it in Queens December 6th and 7th, and back to New York in March 7th, Big Apple Con.
And where can people check out the stuff online? Is it BigAppleCon.com?
What's the website? NYCBM.com. New York Comic Book Marketplace. Okay. Our old website from the Comic Marketplace, and we're going to be adding a few new websites to that. So NYCBM.com. You can Google me, Michael Carbonaro, Ivy Supersonic. It'll all lead to one place, the world of fantasy, creativity, and buying comic books.
I really appreciate this, and we will be in contact. We will have something. Definitely, we'll get a nice podcast going on for the next convention you have.
Well, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a while.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of creating something fun at the comic shows, and every show having something really cool happen. Ruben! Hey!
This is Mark Torres signing off for Came From The Radio.
See Gone Girl Gone?
And as you can see, while we were having the interview, Mike just saw a squirrel and just went to the right at the end of that convention. I was like, oh, I guess the interview is over.
Well, I'm impressed that you caught him that long.
It was an amazing thing. I mean, I've known Mike for many years, and to actually get him focused on it, I can see his, you know, I can see the look in his face that he knew he and I were in that zone while we were talking. And then I saw his eyes just flicker, and then he went off. And I'm like, oh, I guess we're done. So that is our very own Michael Carbonaro. And like he said, we will be at the comic book conventions coming up in December and then in March. So
man is a monster. He's just too much energy.
He really is.
Yeah, he's just all energy. I remember the first time we interviewed him, and he came in and he was cordial. He was very friendly, but he was a little distracted, and he was in his own, you know, whatever. And he set up and he said, you know, hellos and goodbyes and stuff like that, all in advance. Then he started. He had like these little tchotchkes and stuff like that. Remember that?
Yes.
Like these little things, and he just started setting them up.
Yeah,
and
all over the station.
Yeah, we did right on the table. And then the interview started, and it looked like he didn't even realize what was going on. And then you asked him the first question, and he just went right into his pitch while he was, you know, simultaneously setting up all these little things that he had dispersed on the table. And he responded to every question you asked. So he didn't make eye contact with either one of us at the time. He responded to every question. He had pertinent answers for every, you know, he was coherent, he was lucid, but he was in his own zone. And I just remember that vividly. It was a great interview, but I never forgot that. I was like, wow, this guy is, you know, wherever this guy is, it's a better place than where we are.
it was quite a thing, I have to admit. It was quite amazing. And so we'll be dealing more with him. He should be coming down soon. Either him or I'm going to try to get Frank Patch to come down for the December con. But I guess we're just going to go into our regular, what we're going to be talking about this week. Because something that came up in the,
Charlie.
Yes, but first.
But first.
From the desk of our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
About 2 weeks ago, MCON had their costume party with, their cosplay party with their special guest, Demon Boy. And they had a lovely time. I saw the pictures on Kelly Gordon's Facebook page. You see the pictures. But what I wanted to say is that very next day, our friends Kelly Gordon and his lovely wife Jen became parents.
Recently married.
Yes.
Became parents of a beautiful baby boy, Mikkel. If I'm pronouncing it right. If I'm not, Kelly, just come down here and beat the living crap at me. I want to congratulate them. Such a wonderful, wonderful gift to be a parent, and they are going to be great. Yay!
Congratulations.
Congratulations, guys.
So did Demon Boy make the baby come out?
No. Why the hell would you?
Because you mentioned Demon Baby and Demon Boy.
Demon Boy.
I was trying to make the connection.
What just happened?
I do not know. No. Unless All what you mean is the excitement of the evening.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Oh, my God.
Mark, you're supposed to be good at this.
So, anyway, so I guess with all the excitement happening,
yeah.
that very next day.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant.
Yes, and then Mark lost his mind.
Kelly, remember, send something on Facebook to Mark about it. But anyway, congratulations again.
Yes. So as I was saying about what we're going to be talking about this week, another bit of news popped up, and I thought that this was so large of a news item that we should talk about it at length. It seems that Marvel had a super secret meeting this past week. Where they were going to have a giant press announcement.
Are you
going to
do executive voices now?
No executive voices.
Oh, okay, just check.
And they decided to announce their movies up until 2020 of what was coming down the pipeline. And, of course, then, you know, the internet goes wild and they're all comparing about all this stuff. And then you see how DC is also going to have their movies down the pike. And it's, I just want
to... It seems to be, unfortunately, for them losing this battle.
They're losing it like five times over, but
they're losing it really well.
They're still
they're doing a great job of losing it.
Yes, but you know, it's just so much stuff that they're pushing down the pipeline, and in a world of movies and stuff, you know, you have it in such a way where things can change on a dime's notice. If you recall, we reported on how there were going to be a Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 3 and 4, and six Sinister Six movies and a Venom movie, and that was going to come down. And then when the movie came out, it was like, well, we're not going to do that anymore because we're losing money.
Yeah, because we lowered our expectations yet again. But they can't go but solo.
So I mean, these things are I guess they're good for the industry, but it really bothers me that they're pushing so far ahead without any type of they're already assuming that everybody's gonna make tons of money on all these shows. For example, they're gonna have Avengers is in the 2015 of May, then Ant-Man, then Fantastic Four. They're gonna have a Popeye movie coming out in 2015. They're gonna have a Deadpool movie based on Fox. They're gonna have the Batman and Superman movie, the Captain.
Popeye movie?
A Popeye movie is coming out in 2015.
Popeye?
Yeah.
What does that got to do with Marvel?
No, I'm just saying comic book related.
Oh, okay.
That there's just a ton of the stuff coming down the pipeline.
Gotcha.
Captain America's coming out in 2016. They're already talking about that. Captain America 3. X-Men Age of Apocalypse is in 2016. Another Turtles movie is coming out in 2016. Doctor Strange. And it's going to have a Peanuts movie. Charlie Brown is coming to theaters in 2016.
You said Peanuts, right?
Yeah, Peanuts. Charlie Brown. Yeah.
Just checking.
And then in 2017, they're already announcing another Wolverine movie, a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, a Wonder Woman movie, a second Fantastic Four movie before the first one even came out. Thor 3 is out there. Justice League Part 1 is out there. They're going to make
comic book movies. What in short, not in short of what you're saying, because you have a broader perspective on what you're about to ask. But comic book movies are pretty much here to stay, at least for the next decade. According to what you're telling us.
But even still, when we get to a point where, you know, we have that trend. I mean, you know, you have the horror movie trend. Everybody has to make a horror movie. Then you have this type of movie. Everybody has to make this type of movie. Then you have the young preteen movie books that are coming out. Everybody has to make a franchise. Now it's all about franchises and all about comic books. But the fact that it's so far ahead. They're talking about movies in 2019. A Shazam movie is coming out. Avengers Part 3 Part 2 is coming out. Justice League Part 2 is coming out in 2019. We're getting to the end of 2014.
Do you know if they throw out the British crime fighters, they'll screw everything up and have the Avengers 2. Because this
yes.
They'll mess us up.
And could you believe that? Uma Thurman and I don't know
Connery
who plays
Ray Fiennes. Ray Fiennes.
Yeah. Avengers 2. And everybody will run out and, oh no, the guy's wearing a derby. We don't have any superheroes wearing derbies.
They lied to us.
That's why they had to change the name in the United Kingdom to Marvel's The Avengers before people wouldn't get confused.
Yeah.
And even in 2020, they're going to have a new Green Lantern movie coming out. 2020, it's just...
Oh,
what?
Good, I need a nap.
Green Lantern.
Oh, wow.
So...
I'm gonna...
I need a nap.
I mean, the fact that we're planning 5 years ahead of time.
Well, you know what I think? I've I personally think that this has been going on through for years. But now that it's so popular, I think the studios are publicizing this. I mean, you have the planners who've been doing this. They, you know, for years.
Yeah. So you believe
that's
that
not really new.
Yeah,
they have it's planned in years and years ahead.
Right, they're just putting it out to sort of whet the appetites of all our fans out there,
and also to get investors and stuff like that. Everybody lined up so that they can start.
Right. So Taco Bell, Burger King could start printing up the cups and everything like that,
but
making the commercials.
Don't you think that's a bit much to go for this far? I mean, in my opinion, putting it out on the internet, you know, making it a public announcement means that this is what's going to happen. This is, you know, this is how it's going to be. Don't you think they're jumping the gun a little bit?
They can always turn around and say, oh, yeah, we thought it was going to go that way, but then it didn't.
But that's
what they did with Amazing Spider-Man.
Right, and I think that they shouldn't have even bothered. Like, what was the whole point of going through all that?
Because they believe that all of this is part of the press kit, that the, you know, that the part of the marketing campaign is to get, you know, to get you enthusiastic about things that are coming down the pike, and that the world and the universe is getting bigger and bigger, and that there are plans on the horizon to increase, you know, the enthusiasm and to build up, to generate interest.
And as
so they do that stuff, and they also want to maintain their dominance. You know, which Marvel, like, unarguably, Marvel is the dominant, you know, factor in this comic book movie craze now. It's no longer these, like, little studios doing, you know, fledgling comic book movies and doing it cookie-cutter. Marvel has, the great thing about it, and I usually hate this stuff, and I usually am against the whole corporate mentality. So the great thing about what Marvel has done and what Marvel is doing, and I mostly credited Jon Favreau for starting this off with Iron Man, is they're making these as real movies now. These are gigantic productions, you know, of the caliber, the level of, like, say, The Bourne Identity or even maybe a Star Wars or Indiana Jones movie that these movies are being made with, whereas they used to be made, like, in these kind of guerrilla fashion with the new, youngest, hottest, you know, but not as expensive director at the time, who may or may not be a visionary and may not be able to carry it off. And then, you know, they give him half a budget and one, you know, enough money for one celebrity and say, go make a movie and, you know, make us as much money as Sam Raimi did, which is what they did to Daredevil the first time. They tried to cookie cutter that fiasco. And Marvel is just showing that, look, you got to spend the money on it. You got to take time. You got to do it the full way, or it's not going to work. But if you do, if you spend money on it, if you take the time, if you build your production, you will have great results. You know, these comic book movies can be gigantic, and so I do appreciate Marvel for that.
And they also, they're taking a risk also, because they're sort of tipping their hand. They haven't even gone into production with these things. They don't know what's going to come up. As the Wonder Woman, the TV Wonder Woman. You know, it's all of a sudden that never happened. So they're sort of taking a risk, saying these movies will be out. You know, even though they run into problems now, they're going to have to produce.
I think this stuff hurts, in my opinion. Because if I'm going to make a movie, I want to announce, okay, I'm going to make this movie, and it's going to happen, and then the movie comes out, and everybody's fine. But now I'm going to say, yeah, in 8 years, I'm going to make this other movie. I don't know about it, and these actors are still going to be around. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to make this movie. So, to me, I think that's just counterproductive. I mean, in the old days, you know, when they had all the horror movies, wasn't the big thing just getting them together? Or was it the Frankenstein meets Dracula when they fought?
Yeah, the cross. That was great.
But I mean,
so if you knew that like 6 years ahead of time, and then they're like, we're not going to do it because of whatever reason.
Or they just show their hand and then people aren't as... You know, they're going to be more nonchalant about the thing instead of like, oh my God, this is coming out. You know, because when I used to go to, when I went to movies, even now, but let's say a little while ago, not even long ago, you would go into a movie and you see upcoming attraction for a movie you really wanted to see, and they would say the date would be like 6 months,
right?
Or would be like 3 months coming in the spring. Now it's like coming in 2016, 2017, and they're showing the things already. Well, why, if you got all these scenes and you probably have the movie, are we waiting for 20? Because it's strategy. Then don't show me this now.
That's
you know,
my
don't
point.
Show me this now, because, you know.
I mean, have we gotten to a point where we can't? I mean, I've noticed this trend already. I guess I'm going to answer my own question, but have we gotten to a point where we no longer care about what's happening now, but what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're gonna have.
Well, people. They were already talking about Captain America 3 before Captain America 2 came out.
Yeah. And we're they're starting to talk about Avengers being split into two movies for part 3. So now it's Avengers part 3 part 1, Avengers part 3 part 2. Way down the line.
Just making Avengers part 3 and part 4.
Exactly.
Ridiculous. That I will admit is ridiculous because it's not a book. There's no reason to break it up. There's no reason. If you want to make four movies, they want to make four movies and make the money off of four movies, but only say that it's a trilogy.
Right.
And
so
also
that's crazy.
Also with the first Avengers and how they lit up and had little hints and all, that's going to become, you know, old hat now. You know, you saw that thing because Captain America's coming up. Big deal.
So, I mean, it just bothers me so much. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it does. That we're too far ahead of ourselves. Like, can't we just enjoy the movie that's going to come out now? Can't we enjoy Avengers 2 before we start talking about Avengers
8? You know why we're too far ahead of ourselves? Because it's becoming like a mass production factory where it's not coming out quick enough. You know, we got to make the money. It's not coming out quick enough. All right, this is over. Let's get the next one in the search for more money. That's basically it. The bottom line, the search for more money.
I mean, it's like if you had a TV show that you enjoy, and then on the first episode, they're already talking about what they're going to do at the end of the series.
Yeah.
Like, well, then what's the point of even going on the ride? Like, if in Lost, if at the first episode of Lost, say, all right, well, this is going to happen at the end, you know, we're going to, this is what,
they're not telling you, but they're not telling you what's going to happen at the end. They're just telling you how long the series is going to last.
They're teasing events, but they're teasing events, and they're saying, okay, well, on, let's say the show aired on September 5th, 1995, and then on September 6th, 1995, I was like, all right, well, this show's going to last 4 years, and it's going to end with this kind of sort of happening, and they're going to have clips of the finale on the next day.
They're not doing that, though, Mark. They're just telling you what's going to happen. They're just telling you how much is going to happen. They're not going to tell you what's going to happen.
If
Lost came out, the equivalent you're looking for is that they said, okay, yeah, this is a series, and it's only going to last 6 years. Done. And they've done that. People have done that. People have said this series, you know, this is going to last 6 years and then we're going to be done. So, I mean, that's the same thing that Marvel is doing.
But right, look at Supernatural. The guy said he did a 5-year arc and they're on season 10 now. Because things change.
So what? So then things will change and then they'll change the story.
But then what was the point of doing it in the first place?
Well, we just told you to drum up interest and enthusiasm and to, you know, to make sure that there's a catalyst audience out there that are ready and enthusiastic for it so they can sell merchandise and they can drum up interest. All the other news sites are going to go nuts on it. They're going to cook on it and they're going to do most of the marketing work for them by speculating what this and that's going to entail, and everybody else is going to go off and do their own casting, you know, preferred casting for such and such roles that are coming up. And everyone on the internet's going to go nuts and do everything for them, you know, that they would normally spend millions of dollars, you know, putting together an analysis team and, you know, doing kind of, you know, feel good marketing, you know, all that's going to be done for them. All they have to do is say, I have a thought that in about a year I'm going to make another Spider-Man movie, and I might have some emo kid play Spider-Man. And here's all the money I'm going to spend on it. And then everybody else will take that ball and run with it, including us. going to say, yeah, well, we'd like to see Justin Bieber be Spider-Man. And it's just going to, and we're going to do all that work. And in the meantime, they're going to sit back and soak it all in and make their decision.
At what point do the
free
people,
marketing.
At what point do the people get tired of it, though?
When they get tired of it.
Well, it's like this. I really, you know, I know there's people who care about this. But I'm looking at, oh, this is coming up here. All right. I'm going to forget that by the time I get home. And I really don't care about it. But there are going to be people who are like our fans again who are excited about this happening. And that's going to be the talk of their little world. And it drums up more conversation. It drums up interest. But again, this stuff has been going on.
Right, it's just it's more public now.
It's more public now because they want that. They want the money,
and also because we care about it. Because
it's like
you're comic book people.
Yeah, and these people are going to be ready. They're going to be if the games come out. If anything comes out, Burger King comes out with the cup that you rip it off and you can get a free movie ticket.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anything comes out, they're going to be ready. They're going to be running out to Burger King. It's going to make Burger King more money. It's going to make McDonald's Taco Bell more money. It's going to make everybody more money if they know something's coming out.
I was listening to a podcast this is pretty bad. But I was listening to a podcast for The Hunger Games. Because I was sitting at work, and I had none of this here, and I was listening to this podcast. So this new book, this new series of books that are this huge sensation, and they're being turned into a movie.
Right.
Okay? So they were just making the first Hunger Games movie, and they were saying it's going to replace Twilight. And it's going to, it's going to pick up where Twilight left off. It's going to be a huge sensation, blah, blah, blah. In that podcast, when the first movie came out, they already knew that book three was going to be turned into two movies. And when those movies were going to come out.
Right.
So that was before the first movie came out. That's 4 years ago or something like that, before the first movie even came out. So, look, people do it all the time. It's just that this is the first time it's been made seriously public, where Marvel has just hedged all its bets and did a nanny-nanny boo-boo to Warner Brothers and says, oh, we know for a fact we are the dominant species here, and you cannot follow us. That's basically what that whole thing is, because Sony is lost. Sony has completely lost all their credibility in the superhero industry.
Right.
And Warner Brothers really cannot get their ship off the ground. They really cannot launch their ship. They had something with the Batman. At least they had Batman. And Christian Bale's like, I don't want to do anymore. And Christopher Nolan said, I don't want to do anymore.
And that's funny because I was reading an article as to why, quote unquote, the delay of the DC Universe was happening. And they said that it was in direct result of Christopher Nolan saying, I don't want to do it. Because they wanted him to be the head guy. And he's like, nah, I don't feel like doing it.
Yeah, because he's taken heat already and he's tired of it. He's probably also tired of doing, Batman. He's done three of them. He wants to move on. He's not a huge Batman fan, He said it was a challenge when they gave it to him in the first place. And he turned it into something monstrous, even though I have my own feelings about those movies. I cannot deny that they are solid films, and they did an astronomical job for the comic industry. And he's done. And then he comes along, he puts a little bit of his hand into the Man of Steel, and that did not get the reception that everybody had hoped it would.
Right.
And it's kind of done now. It's not to say that it's done in Man of Steel and the Batman versus Superman is going to be, spectacular or whatever. It could be. If they tone it down and do a little less of what they tried to do with the Man of Steel and get back to the characters, it could definitely potentially be gigantic, but they are way behind.
This is kind of like with Rob Zombie in the Halloween movie, if you remember that. He made the Halloween movie. Everybody loved it. And said, all right, go make another one. He's like, I don't really want to make another one. Like, go make another one. And then the second one, he's like, I'm just going to make whatever, so that way I don't have to make a third one.
Yeah.
He just threw the white horse, and I was like, I don't know what the hell is going on in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, my big thing was...
I don't get that, because if someone gave me money, to, I'd be very self-conscious to purposely make crap. You know, I wouldn't want to do that. But, yeah, that's kind of what he did.
I was...
you see the second Halloween movie, it was kind of... Yeah. It was purposely made crap. So, you know, I mean, we're thankful that Nolan decided he just didn't want to be part of it. I don't think he did that to Superman. I don't think he did that on purpose. You know, my personal feelings.
I'm still wondering who was the brainstormer behind the original Halloween 3. Probably the same one who did Skyline. What was that? Skyline. That, yeah.
All right.
30 years later, he comes
you're
back.
You're still going with that, but I thought
the season of the witch.
I thought the season of the witch was fairly creepy when they were watching that TV and the stuff happened. That freaked me out as a kid.
What?
It did, all and then right, the fact yes, that it had the ambiguous ending, and that as also kid, freaked me out.
As a kid, everything freaks you out. But
no,
I mean,
it didn't. No, I was fine does. With Jason.
Everything freaks kids out. But now you get older, you're like, okay, yeah, that wasn't that great.
So maybe if I see it again, it will have a different look. But I just remember that fondly as a movie that freaked me out, Halloween 3. So okay.
Yeah.
Just putting that on record right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'm freaked out the fact that it freaked
as
you
being,
out.
As being older and knowing what was going on, believe me, it sucked.
That song still gets me. That still bothers me. That haunts me, that song. We have about like 3 minutes
where
left. So
where did the snake come from? Where did the snakes and the bugs suddenly come from? You put a piece of metal behind some kid's head, and suddenly snakes and bugs.
It was
out of
their
magic.
Eyes. It was a witch.
Magic. Come on.
What? That was just the explanation.
Enough,
was magic.
Enough. Move on.
So
move on.
Yes, we're gonna go with our final thoughts. So Hassan, do you have any final thoughts for us?
I say don't worry about it. I say they're gonna change their story as soon as the market changes or whatever. For right now, they're the dominant factor, and you know I think they should enjoy it and revel in it for a while because they did the work, they did the very hard work, and they've earned it. And you know it's good that the industry is getting a serious hard look. You know, I enjoy that. I'm happy with that.
Charlie, final thought?
I don't think we should take it too seriously because. Or too serious because it's only going to get worse. We know that it's only going to get worse. We think they can't top this. Ah, wait a minute. You know?
Yeah.
They'll be doing reboots before the movie is out. The movie is out.
They announced we're going to do three Spider-Man movies and then a reboot.
This is the movie. Wonder Woman's coming out. When it comes out the next week, there's going to be a reboot.
That's
a reboot of Wonder Woman while the
they're going to be
Wonder
a
Woman
reboot of the reboot.
That actually it can actually happen. So that makes me really
scared.
Yeah.
So I mean, don't sweat this.
Right. So that about does it for this week.
Does it really?
It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. Join us right here any every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, and listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. And don't forget to check out Mike Carbonaro at nycbm.com. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.